and offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving with leaven, and proclaim and publish the free offerings. For this liketh you, O ye children of Israel, saith the Lord God. And I also have given you cleanness of teeth in all your cities, and one of bread in all your places. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. And also I have withholden the rain from you, when there were yet 3 months to the harvest. And I caused it to rain upon one city, and caused it not to rain upon another city. One piece was rained upon, and the piece whereupon it rained not withered. So two or three cities wandered unto one city to drink water, but they were not satisfied. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I've smitten you with blasting and mildew, when your gardens and your vineyards and your fig trees and your olive trees increased. The palmer worm devoured them. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I've sent among you the pestilence after the manner of Egypt. Your young men have I slain with the sword, and have taken away your horses, and I've made the stink of your camps to come up unto your nostrils. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I've overthrown some of you, as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and ye were as a firebrand plucked out of the burning. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. So prepare to meet thy God is our title. Dear Lord, we love you. We thank you for the privilege to meet here and open your word, and pray you'll use it now in our lives to grow us and teach us. And Lord, that our time would glorify you, that we'd open our hearts to hear from you and focus on that and allow the Holy Spirit free reign in our lives. And we pray that Jesus would be magnified in this service, whom we love, and in whose name we pray. Amen. So we see here that God continues to reach out to Israel. As this morning, we talked mostly about the messengers, but as you can see here, God explained that he continued to send chastisement with the hope that they would repent and listen and return. How many times did God say that phrase, "Yet you return not unto me, saith the Lord"? And the Lord swears that he is going to punish them, but notice what he swears by in verse 2. The Lord God has sworn by his holiness. This is important. The holiness of God is the most prominent attribute of Scripture. It's over 600 times in the Bible. And it's because of the holiness of God that we understand the need for salvation. Because God is holy, and because we aren't, we therefore cannot enter his presence. And so we require supernatural intervention. We can't enter his presence unless we're holy. And we have no means to be holy. And so our Heavenly Father, in his kindness, died in our place, shed his blood for us, rose again, and offers us his righteousness through Jesus Christ. It's a precious thing, salvation. But he's swearing by his holiness. God says in Psalm 89, verse 35, "Once have I sworn by my holiness that I will not lie." And God often in the Scripture swears by his holiness. It means that he is set apart. It means that he is sacred. It means that he is pure. It means he's free from wickedness. And it's by that that he swears. And if you go to Revelation 4:8 and 4:11, the Bible makes it very clear that there was only one true Holy One, and that is the Lord himself. Now, Jesus is often referred to as the Holy One, but that's because he is Jehovah. Notice the Revelation 4, down in verse 8. This is a glimpse of heaven after the church is taken up. It says, "And the four beasts, each had of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." So here we see around the throne of God, what are they saying but holy, holy, holy? Isaiah saw the same thing in Isaiah chapter 6, didn't he? Now if you go over to Revelation 15, while you're in Revelation, and verse 4, "And they sung the song of Moses, the servant of God, the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Verse 4, sorry. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name, for thou only art holy. Thou only. That's a very important word, isn't it? Only God is holy. Now God asks that we strive to be holy. 1 Peter 1:15 and 16, be ye holy, for I am holy. But the holiness of God is what he swears by, that that he cares about his people, but that he also is going to continue to reach out to them through these curses, if you will, to try to woo them back to himself. Now, I believe that when a Christian is backslidden and under chastisement, it's not a mystery. They know that God is working in their lives and trying to bring them home. But did you notice he kept saying it over and over? He says in verse 6, I gave you want of bread, yet you've not returned unto me. Verse 7, I've withholden the rain. So he says, I've held back your food. I've held back water. Verse 8, you've not returned unto me. Verse 9, I sent blasting and mildew. So I sent that as well. The end of verse 9, yet you've not returned unto me. Verse 10, I sent pestilence. Yet the end of verse 10, yet you've not returned unto me. Verse 11, I overthrew some of you. Yet at the end of the verse, yet you've not returned unto me. So five times in this passage, he says, I've done this, I've done this, I've done this, and you didn't come back. You didn't return. How many Christians are there where God just continues to send things into their lives to say, please return, please come home, please come back, and they don't listen. They don't listen. His conclusion, therefore, in verse 12, therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God. What a statement. God will bring many things into our lives to get our attention. If you go to 1 Corinthians 11, I want to show you an example where God was working in the life of the early church at Corinth. And this particular church had a lot of spiritual issues. And one of the things that God had to deal with, again, was their abuse of the Lord's Supper. Many of them used it as an opportunity to get drunk, believe it or not. Can you imagine? A remembrance of the cross of Calvary and using it as an opportunity to get drunk. Many of them were using it to show off their wealth by turning it into a feast. And notice what God says down in verse 30. For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. You know, the Bible says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. We saw that this morning in Hebrews chapter 12. Jesus says in Revelation 3:19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. God loves us enough to chasten us. And God says to Israel, I've chastened you in this way and in this way and in the five different ways I have chastened you, and yet you have not returned unto me. It's like a rebellious child that no matter what you do, they just don't listen to the chastisement. In the Old Testament days, by the way, if you had a child like that, you went to the elders at the gates of the city and said, I've tried this, I've tried this, I've tried this, and my child just won't listen. They just keep rebelling. You know what happened? The elders of the city would stone the child to death. Imagine that. We wouldn't have any kids in our society, would we? But that's Old Testament law. So he says there in verse 12, because I will do this, because I'm going to continue to send the blasting and the pestilence and the mildew and the famines, and you won't listen, prepare to meet thy God. Be ready, because you're coming to judgment. So go to Hebrews 9:27, and let's bring this home to us. According to God's word, Hebrews 9:27, every single human being will face judgment. The good news is, if you're a born again Christian, your judgment is different than those who are not born again Christians. Trust me, you don't want to be the other one. Hebrews 9:27, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, what? The judgment. And so, how do we prepare to meet God? Well, number one, every single human being on the earth, The only way to prepare to meet God is to trust Jesus Christ, is to be born again. If you do not, you will suffer a judgment that is horrible. And we'll look at it in a few minutes. But go to Luke chapter 12. And Jesus told a parable about a man that was very wealthy. And the point wasn't so much about his wealth. The point was he wasn't prepared to meet God. He was prepared for everything else, but he wasn't prepared to meet the Lord. Now, you know, I won't read the whole parable, but it starts there in verse 16 of Luke chapter 12. And verse 19, I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. So this man was wealthy. He had so much that he just kept laying up. And he thought, look, I've got all this set aside. Now what can I do? I'm going to eat and drink and be merry. I've set all of these things aside. I don't need to work anymore. I can just eat and drink and be merry. Verse 20, but God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall these things be which thou hast provided? You've set all this aside. Tonight I'm taking your life. You get to leave it all behind. And who's going to take it all? But you didn't prepare to meet God. How sad. The only way we can prepare to meet God is to receive God. Amen? Receive the Lord. Realize we're sinners. Realize we deserve to go to hell. Realize that our Creator loved us so much that He became a man and died in our place and rose again. And accept what He did and ask Him to save us. Take the Son. And that the world, God breaks the world down into two groups of people. 1 John 5. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. There are the alive and there are the dead, and that's it. You're either one or the other. I'm not talking physically, I'm talking spiritually. We all understand this. The Bible says, you hath he quickened who were dead. So before we were saved, we were dead in trespasses and sins. Once we are saved, praise God, we have eternal life. And the only way that the world can prepare to meet God is to get saved. Not go to church, not get baptized, get saved. That's it. Because when you get to that final judgment, go there, Revelation chapter 20, where God describes it for us. It is a very sobering picture that God draws for us. And the only way to avoid it is to have your name written in a particular book. Notice verse 11. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead. So now we know who's at this judgment. The dead. Small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Before I move on, my friend, if you're born again, you're not dead. Amen? Jesus says in John 11, he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. We have eternal life. We are not dead. But the dead will be judged out of those books. But there's also another book there called the Book of Life, verse 15. And whosoever was not found written, the Book of Life, was cast into the lake of fire. This is often referred to as the Great White Throne Judgment because, as we saw there, verse 11, I saw a great white throne. But the dead are there. Those whose names are not found written in the Book of Life. The only way to get your name in the Book of Life is to receive life. And Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life in John 14, verse 6. He doesn't just give life, he is life. So the only way to truly prepare to meet God from a heaven versus hell point of view is you must be born again. You must receive eternal life. You must get your name written in that book. Now, for those of us that are born again Christians, that's settled. Amen? But we still have a judgment. And we will still meet God someday. And that's in Romans 14, so let's turn there. And every believer, this is not the unsaved, but every believer will face a judgment as well. Now, this is also found in 2 Corinthians 5. It's also found in 1 Corinthians 3. But Romans 14, verse 10. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So this is a different judgment seat. This is not the great white throne judgment. This is the judgment seat of Christ. It's also mentioned in 2 Corinthians 5:10. It's also mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. This judgment is not to judge sin. This judgment is to judge our works. What did we do with our salvation after we were saved? And we might receive reward and we might not. But our soul, that destiny has already been settled the day we were born again. So we've got two judgments. And God says, prepare. So if you're born again, you've done the first step. Praise God. You don't have to face that second judgment after the kingdom. But if you are born again, you are going to face a judgment. And God says, prepare. Prepare to meet. Go to 1 John 2:28, where God says that some Christians will be ashamed. 1 John chapter 2, look at verse 28. The Bible says, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. God wants his children to be confident that they're ready for his return. This is what he's talking about when all through the New Testament he says, I want you to watch. I'm going to come back at a time when you don't expect me. Be watching, be waiting, be expecting me to come back. That's what he means when he says in 1 John 3, every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. What's the hope? That he's coming back, that we get a new body, that we get to see Jesus. But this says there will be some Christians who will be ashamed. How sad. Which means they didn't prepare to meet God. God wants Christians, if you go to Romans 13, to serve him. And I talked about this in Tito this afternoon, but a lot of Christians are asleep. And look what he says here, Romans 13, verse 11. And now that knowing the time, then now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than we believe. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Awake out of sleep. Some Christians are asleep. They're just cruising their way, not waiting for Jesus. They're just cruising their way through life. They know they have salvation. This isn't what God wants. God wants us to prepare to meet our God, because we will. And does God want us to be, we'll go to one more passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Does God want us to be ashamed? Of course not. But according to this description in 1 Corinthians 3, some Christians will. Some Christians will be ashamed. Now, we all will to a point, because none of us have done what we should have done 100%. But don't you want God to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, when we stand before Jesus? 1 Corinthians, notice verse 13. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. You ever heard the saying, getting in by the skin of your teeth? That's what verse 15 is. But did you notice verse 12? If any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. So the things that we do for the Lord, some of them will, it's going to be tested with what? Fire. Well, we know what happens to wood, hay, and stubble with fire. And we know what happens to gold, silver, precious stones with fire. It's made more pure versus the others, which just burn up. So some works will burn up, and some will survive the fire of Jesus' judgment and result in rewards. But God says to us, as he said to Israel here through Amos, I'm going to keep calling out. I'm going to keep speaking to you. I'm going to keep reaching out in love. I might have to reach out and put some chastisement in there sometimes, but I want you to be prepared. to meet me someday, because we all will. If you're born again, praise God. You don't have to be attendant at that judgment described in Revelation 20. But if you are born again, we all will still face a judgment. And God wants us to be ready for it, to prepare. And we can. Jesus tells us how. If you love me, keep my commandments. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. We can prepare ourselves if we'll just get to work and serve him and do what we can until the trumpet blows. Amen. Prepare to meet thy God. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this reminder tonight.